The next speaker is from Oxfam Scotland, and I think we're all aware of the vital role that Oxfam plays, not just in Africa, but throughout the Third World. And I'm delighted to introduce Angela O'Hagan. Angela.
Good morning. We're here in the first session this morning, and it's fantastic, as ever, to see so many people on a Saturday morning, and it's always very humbling to see people turning out in great numbers, and very reassuring, and points very well, I think, for the challenges on May the 5th, the challenges on the 2nd of July, to make our voices heard in terms of debt, trade and aid, which are the core topics of our first session this morning, and the cornerstones, the three pillars of the Make Poverty History Challenge in the UK. Make Poverty History is a coalition of about 370-odd NGOs, church groups, faith groups, trade unions, all sorts of campaigns organisations across the UK. But Make Poverty History is also part of the Global Call to Action Against Poverty, the global movement. That's the No More Excuses campaign in Latin America, it's the Keep Your Promises coalition in India, and it's a range of coalitions across Africa. 70 organisations of whom met in Nairobi at the end of last month, working through the various issues around supporting or achieving the challenges of Make Poverty History, dropping the debt of developing countries, securing trade justice for developing economies in developing countries, and delivering more and better aid from the donor governments who have consistently undershot their own commitments over a number of years. And the demands of the Global Call to Action Against Poverty are the same as Make Poverty History: dropping debt, trade justice, and more and better aid. But with the crucial addition by developing country coalitions facing donor governments and facing their own governments, that national governments must have the power to make their own decisions on national efforts to eliminate poverty and achieve the Millennium Development Goals. Now, there may well be disagreement in this room about the Millennium Development Goals as a framework, but whatever way we look at it, one way we can perhaps agree on, that yet again, there is a framework for aspiration and a framework that has been consistently undershot and underachieved by the donor and committing governments, including those governments coming to Gleneagles in July. But what the Global Call to Action Against Poverty offers us, I think, in Make Poverty History, is that link to national voices and a call to action for commitments, but for a real change in what governments at the national level across the world, so developing country governments and donor country governments, are doing in terms of moving forward in a way that is sustainable and achievable and actually will secure change and progress in a way that is democratic, transparent and accountable to its citizens. And that's a demand of developing country governments to their own governments and to the donor governments, and it's our challenge in Make Poverty History to the UK government. I think we all know by now why 2005 is such a crucial year. The convergence of so many decision-making opportunities and chances for governments to demonstrate positive leadership and real commitment, and finally to mean it, to mean the rhetoric of ending poverty. For the UK government, the presidencies of the European Union and the G8 are key. We have a general election campaign running just now in which voters are telling the parties that world poverty and international development do matter to voters in this country of Scotland, in this country of the United Kingdom, that voters would rather see politicians fighting poverty than wars. Tomorrow is World Poverty Day in the general election. It's an opportunity for the party leaders to platform on their commitments on world poverty, but it's an opportunity for us and for the wider electorate to challenge those parties, all the parties, on their commitments to world poverty. And politicians don't get to support Make Poverty History by wearing a white band and making cheap jokes at conference and saying that they're with us. It's very easy to say that they're with us. They have a lot more to do than that. A child dies every 3 seconds across the developing world from preventable poverty. Now, that we can all discuss the causes of that, we can discuss the consequences of that, but we can also perhaps agree that that is the shame of perhaps our generation, but also, or the legacy that, that our generation has to withstand and to challenge. When Nelson Mandela came to Trafalgar Square, came to London in advance of his visit to the G7 ministers, he addressed 20-odd thousand people in Trafalgar Square there to support Mount Poverty History. And Mandela's challenge to those 20,000 and to the rest of us is that we are that generation. We are the generation that can end poverty. That is our challenge, should we choose to accept it. And when the G8 come to Scotland, we can all be there in our different ways, demanding that the G8 make poverty history. Because this year, more than at any other time in our common histories, we can't walk away, or if we walk away, we walk away knowing what we're walking away from. The G8 know what they're walking away from. The chance in this generation to end poverty. And that's the challenge to the G8, and that's the challenge of Make Poverty History. 35 years ago, the British government, amongst many other governments, made a commitment to meet a target of 0.7%, not even 1% of our national wealth, as the national contribution in aid to poor countries. That still hasn't been met. And according to the current electioneers, another form of saying the UK government, because we don't actually have a government at the moment, that commitment won't be met till 2013, by which time another 45 million people will be infected by HIV. One in six of Africa's children will die before their fifth birthday. In the first few months of the illegal war in Iraq, $125 billion was spent. Worldwide military spending is somewhere in the region of $795 billion. Numbers so big I can't begin to conceive what they actually mean. But what I do understand is that to meet the Millennium Development Goals framework would need an extra $50 billion, a fraction of the monies spent in the prosecution of war. Debt, the second pillar of the campaign. Africa faces demands for over $10 billion in debt repayment annually, three times what the same countries receive in aid. So far, only a little more than 10% of total debt owed has been cancelled. Now, while there has been progress, and that progress is positive and welcome and going in the right direction, it's not enough. Make Poverty History, and right on cue, Jubilee Scotland, the debt campaign, walk in. Make Poverty History is calling for 100% cancellation of debts of poor countries without the strings of economic or market conditionality. In 2004, Zambia spent over 7% of its national wealth in servicing debt repayments, twice the amount it's able to spend on education. The perverse conditions of current debt relief have forced Zambia and other countries to privatise public utilities, remove subsidies and open its markets, undermining its own economic stability and reducing its potential to provide for its own people. And looking to trade, the third pillar of the Make Poverty History Challenge, Make Poverty History demands an end to forced liberalisation, the so-called free market policies that force poor countries to open their markets to unfair competition. We demand a stop to harmful subsidies that result in dumping produce from developing markets and crippling poor economies and keeping local people poor. The Africa Commission has already been cited today and no doubt will be the substance of considerable discussion over the day. But one very positive thing from the Africa Commission is that it describes export subsidies as absolutely unacceptable, politically antiquated, economically illiterate, environmentally destructive, and ethically indefensible. They must go. Now, that's the Africa Commission. That's not Make Poverty History, that's not globalised resistance. That perhaps is progress, and that's a very clear message for agricultural reform in the European Union, a very clear message to the UK government to meet its commitment to deliver CAP reform. And that's the framework, if you like, that's the platform for Make Poverty History. And that's the message that we hope you will come to Edinburgh on the 2nd of July with, to add your voices to the hundreds of thousands of voices we want on the street, sending a very clear message. It's an opportunity for people in Scotland to make our voices heard, that we want to see the G8 and the others make poverty history in 2005. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela.